You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the main event of tonight's live broadcast. Our featured guest of the evening, Pastor Brett McAtee. Pastor Brett is the husband of a wife without peer, father of three children who walk as heroes in the land, and grandfather of nine. He is the author of Iron Ink, which is committed to thinking God's thoughts after him. He has pastored Christ the King Reformed Church in Charlotte, Michigan, for over 20 years. I last missed an entire broadcast back the first week of May. It was my wedding anniversary, and Winston Smith anchored that show and had as his featured guest that evening Pastor Brett McAtee. And of all the times we have talked about matters of faith and heritage, I think Pastor Brett did the best job I've ever heard on this radio program of reconciling the two and talking about how they go hand in hand with one another and are not at odds with one another. And I thought that this would be a really good week. I think we need to turn our attention back to the eternal and the spiritual tonight. And we're going to do that right now. Pastor McAtee, so great to have you back.
Thank you, James, for having me. It's good to hear you.
Well, good to hear you, and thanks for taking the time. So we're going to talk a little bit later this hour about what's going on in the churches now and how that happened and what recourse we have and where our people should be and where we can go for spiritual nourishment. But let's first go back to a topic I know you addressed last time you were on. And I listened to that interview as I was driving back and just was really riveted. Let's talk about the reconciliation of our faith and heritage, or if you prefer, the intersection of Christianity and ethno-nationalism. I wrote in an article that I wrote back in 2011, or rather in 2015, it was entitled My Journey. And I asked how they go about ridding us of Christianity. And I said that the most effective tactic has been to convince most white people of the lie that they cannot at the same time love and advocate for our people and be a true Christian. And the lie, of course, goes something like this: if you're white and if you love your own people, then you're a racist, and the Bible and Christianity condemn racism. Now, as I said, that's a lie, but enough of our people have believed it that it has become a primary tool in our genocide. And having believed it, our people have been left with a choice. You can either hate your own people so you can be a Christian, or you can stop being a Christian so you can be a racist. Pastor Brett, tell them what you feel about that question.
Well, first of all, it's obviously clear that you can love your own people without hating everybody else. I mean, to say that loving your people automatically means that you hate those people who aren't your people is just ridiculous. Even the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 talks about his incredible passion, compassion for his people. And he's talking about them as they're outside of Christ. He said, "I would count myself a curse for my fellow kinsmen." Some passages even interpreted as my fellow race. So to suggest that because I love my people, I therefore hate everybody else, it's just special pleading. It's absurd. It doesn't match. Secondly, we find all the way through Scripture God's people loving their people. Paul, I already mentioned in Romans chapter 9, Jesus made it clear when he first came that he came to the household of Israel. That doesn't mean that he wasn't a savior for all who would look to him, but it means that his initial focus was on his people, the household of Israel. You see that in the prophets. And indeed, I would say, unless you love your own people, you cannot love beyond that concentric circle. So the first concentric circle is your own people, your family, your kith, your kin. And beyond that are subsequent circles of people who are aliens to greater degrees. But if you don't love your own people, you can't love those out in those further concentric circles. And it's just summed up with charity begins at home.
Well, I actually made mention of that as well. I'm so glad, and I shouldn't be impressed by you because I know your background and I know how wonderful of a shepherd of the Lord you are. But that is impressive that you would bring that up just right out of the bat when answering that question. And I didn't intend to get into this, and I looked up the passage. But I would agree, of course, that they are complementary to the point that not only can you be a Christian and love your own race, not only should you be a Christian and love your own race, but if you are a Christian, then with the proper application, you will love your people and the way God made you. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And you mentioned Paul. What Paul said in Romans 9:3 is, "For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." You'll feel the same imperative to protect your genetic line as Abraham did when he told his servant, "But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." You'll fear the displeasure of God, who said through Paul, quote, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And that's in 1 Timothy 5:8, Pastor Brett.
Pastor Brett, this is Keith Alexander. I'm a co-host with James. How did white churches come to this gradual point that we're at today, where they seem to, the pastors seem to covet a flock that God hasn't given them? God has given them a flock of white sheep, but they covet a flock of black sheep or non-white sheep of various stripes. And this is, I don't see that happening in the black church. Could you comment on that for us? What's going on? How did this come to pass?
Okay, did we lose Pastor Brett? We may need to try to reconnect. We have our first commercial break coming up in about a minute, so we'll see what's going on. All right, but in the meantime, a lot of what he said just there in that opening salvo, in that opening question, is stuff that we have documented in this article that I brought to your attention just a moment ago, written in November of 2015 for, appropriately enough, the website faithandheritage.com. It's the title of my journey. You can check it out by just Googling, I guess you could say, my journey and James Edwards. But, I'll be interested to hear his reaction to the application of the faith. Okay, Pastor Brett, I don't know exactly when we got cut off, but we apologize for that.
You were hearing me.
Okay, well, we're back at full strength now. So if you heard the whole thing, you can chime in. I guess the question is, I'll sum it down. Have the churches always been so eager to trim their sails? I mean, talking about the American churches, to trim their sails to satisfy society, or is this a relatively new innovation?
I think you have to go back to the civil rights era. In my studies, that's where I find that the slow turning begins at that point. And at that point, which is really, the civil rights is largely, not completely, but largely a communist Marxist movement. At that point, the church becomes convinced that somehow it's been an evil thing, all because it wasn't completely integrated. And so the church at that point, and then over the next 30 or 40 years after that, becomes increasingly convinced that if it wants to be a true church, that it has to reach out.
All right, hold on right there. Our guest for the full hour tonight, we're coming up to our first break of the hour, Pastor Brett McAtee. We're going to give you his website. If you are looking for a church and you can't find one that is giving you a full loaf in your local area, I haven't read anything in the Bible that says you can't get your spiritual nourishment online, and you can watch Pastor Brett's live stream, as I know some of our audience does. We'll give you that site.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great holiday gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I was talking with our guest, Pastor Brett McAtee, earlier this week that some people have even gone so far to say as they've been so alienated from establishment religion that the political cesspool has become their church. And in no way, shape, or form are we meant to substitute true spiritual nourishment, but we do take the compliment in the spirit it's intended. But I do want to encourage you that if you are having trouble finding a Bible-believing church and a church that hasn't surrendered to society's wills, check out the website charlottereformed.org. Charlotte as in the city, charlottereformed.org, and that will be the online outpost for Christ the King Reformed Church. That's Pastor Brett McAtee's church. And Pastor Brett, long ago, the theologian A.W. Tozer put it, religion today is not transforming people, rather it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society, it is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender. Do you think that accurately describes most denominations in America today? And again, elaborate a little more on why you think that is.
Yeah, God bless A.W. Tozer. I read everything I could get my hands on by him in my 30s. Anyway, yeah, he's exactly right. Institutions are going to reflect their culture if they're going to pack people in, and that includes the church. So if the church wants to pack them in, if its main goal is putting the meat in the seat, then they're going to reflect the culture. And if they don't reflect the culture, odds are, and I know there are exceptions, but odds are they're going to be small. So, yes, the church has entered into what Luther called the Babylonian captivity. I'd call the cultural Marxist activity. And we are reinterpreting now, that is the denominations largely. Again, there are exceptions. We're reinterpreting Christianity through a cultural Marxist grid so that we have more in common with Herbert Marcuse and William Reich than we do Jesus Christ. And it's not just any one stripe or flavor. You can find it. It's all across the board. It doesn't matter where you pull in on a Sunday morning in the parking lot. Generally speaking, what you're going to get is cultural Marxism from the pulpit.
Well, Pastor, this is Keith Alexander again. Black churches don't seem to have any problem at all with identifying and sympathizing with their flock racially. Why is this affliction, it seems to be unique to white Gentile churches. What's the explanation? What is happening? What's the dynamic?
Yeah, as I started to know earlier, it starts with the civil rights era. False guilt is heaped upon white people in general. There's a narrative that's created and spun that is definitely questionable, and maybe even more than questionable. Maybe it's even dubious. And white people begin to get burdened with this idea of false guilt. And what they do then, in thinking they can relieve themselves of this guilt, they end up thinking they have to become interracial and their churches are multiracial. And in doing that, they accept what's too often the case, the cultural Marxist minority agenda, because cultural Marxism, this whole goal was to use minority community as its foot soldiers in its long march through the institution. Then you fast forward from the civil rights era to the era of postmodernism, where we're at now, and truth becomes individual and private. Therefore, you can't appeal to capital T truth. And what happens is little T truth comes into every one of these congregations, and we're so flooded then with cones, black theology and liberation theology, that gets into the milieu and the intellectual mindset. That gets into our seminaries, that gets into our preachers, and that gets into our churches. And so it's a long background as to how we've gotten to this place. But if you were to sum it up, boil away all the dross, it's really the idea that we've been given a false guilt with a false narrative as created by those who go by the name of cultural Marxists.
Well, you know, I think it's this simple. They're guilty of the sin of covetousness. They have been given a white flock by God, but they covet a black flock. They're like Jonah. They don't want to accept their assignment from God, and they don't realize that if they got their wish, which was to have a black flock, the first thing the black flock would do is vote them out of the pulpit.
Well, I think it's even much simpler than that, Keith. I think you're right, but I think ultimately, we have to understand, and I know that our audience does, that Christians shouldn't be held, well, maybe they should be held to a different standard, but we have to understand that these churches, what is a church except for
a community?
A community of people from the local area. So when people come into a church building, they're not automatically immune from all of the ills of society. And I think, you know, white people in a church house or white people at your local McDonald's have this same fear. They fear more than anything being called a racist, and they will do whatever it takes, including surrendering their own patrimony, yes, to avoid this. And you see this out of church leaders now. No one wants to be hassled. No one wants to be called a racist. No one wants to be bothered for standing up for the truth. But it is interesting, Pastor Brett, that the application of Christianity differs wildly even amongst our own people, our own brothers and sisters in different parts of the Western world. Now, a few months ago, there were simultaneous events taking place. And I bring this to your attention to illustrate the contrast. In Poland, the church there, or Christians there, were praying for stronger borders. In America, there was a big rally as Christians were repenting for quote-unquote racial sins.
This including immigration and exclusion of non-white.
Well, here's the details, though, very quickly. Thousands of Catholics formed a human chain along the borders of Poland on the anniversary of the historic victory by Europe over the Ottoman Empire to officially pray for peace against the Islamization of Europe. Prayers took place across some 4,000 locations across the country's 2,000-mile border involving 320 churches from 22 dioceses. Okay, so that was in Poland. In America, at approximately the same time, there was a gathering of Christian women in Washington, D.C. for a worship-focused revival calling on Americans to repent for this country's history of racial and gender-based injustices. So, Pastor Brett, these are allegedly self-avowed Christians in Poland and in America praying for wildly different things. Your thoughts and insight on that?
Well, first of all, Poland lived under communism for a long time, so they haven't forgotten what communism is and what its impact and implications are. We never lived under communism. What's happening now in our churches and in our broader culture is the same type of thing, only under a different banner. So So that would be my first observation. The second observation would be that Americans just are not an intelligent people overall. I mean,
you're right.
Mindset is to basically say you want to kill yourself. You want to kill who you are. And thirdly, you have to say that, look, Christianity, I mean, it doesn't mean anything unless you put content into it. And those people who are putting content into Christianity, that means we need to kill our people, we need to kill ourselves. Well, I'm sorry, you may call it whatever you want, but that's not Christianity.
It's theologically Stockholm Syndrome, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, so that's the application there and here, and I think you're exactly right about they have suffered under communism. Perhaps we needed to suffer a little bit more. Americans have been too fat, dumb, and happy for far too long. I mean, the only place really where you have a culture that is still nominally identifiable is in the South, and the reason that that exists, I think, is because of the suffering that we had during the war and then in Reconstruction. But I want to remind you folks, Charlotte Reformed. .com. That's CHARLOTTE. CharlotteReform.org. Excuse me. CharlotteReform.org. There you can find the writings, the sermons, the audios. We have somebody listening tonight that say they watch Pastor Brett's sermons every week there on YouTube, Christ the King Reformed Church at CharlotteReform.org. Please write that down. If you cannot find a home church, and let Pastor Brett lead you online. That's the way the early church was formed, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is in France for the G7 summit.
So far, so good. The weather is perfect. The guest is fantastic. Everybody's getting along. And I think we'll accomplish a lot this weekend. And I look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
But there are leaders, including Britain's Boris Johnson, that say they're concerned over his trade war with China. The president is now threatening to use the emergency authority granted by an obscure 1977 act to order American businesses to cut ties to China. He later tweeted that he was threatening to make use of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which was intended to target terrorists and rogue regimes. It's still not clear if he can or will try to use the act to force American businesses to separate from China. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
More violence erupting in Hong Kong. With more, here's USA's John Hunt.
Hong Kong protesters threw bricks and gasoline bombs at the police, who responded with tear gas as chaotic scenes returned to the summer-long anti-government protest for the first time in nearly 2 weeks. Hundreds of black-clad protesters armed with bamboo poles and baseball bats fought with police officers wielding batons on a main road following the march that was sparked by surveillance fears. Fernando Chang is trying to build a bridge between the police and the young protesters.
The youth don't necessarily listen to the legislators, but we are here to witness what's going on, be the bridge between the police and the protesters sometime. Make sure that there's sufficient time for the protesters to respond. Make sure that the police don't jump onto their violent conclusion so fast.
The violence has interrupted nearly 2 weeks of calm in Hong Kong, which had been gripped by a turbulent pro-democracy movement since June.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
This is such a founding pillar of why this show was created. I mean, we were really created. When I started this show, I knew that we wanted to tell the truth about racial realities. We wanted to tell the truth about and be able to celebrate our Southern heritage. And we certainly wanted to be all centered from a Christ-centric perspective. So faith was always part of our identity, as it should be, as it should be. And it's so rewarding and encouraging to have a man like Pastor Brett McAtee on with us tonight, a man of God who leads his flock and has dedicated his life to this calling to just basically, I mean,
he's a voice in the wilderness.
I don't want to minimize it, but I mean, it is common sense when you boil it all down. But it's so encouraging to have a pastor of a church on that will tell you the truth, because they are few and far between today, and that's a sad state of affairs. So, you know, we're talking about now how it seems as though our state religion is political correctness, tolerance and diversity are the best we can strive to accomplish, and remember
Hutton Gibson's comment.
Well, I'm getting to, Keith, you're reading my mind or my notes, and yes, that's next. Martin Luther King has replaced Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but with regards to tolerance and diversity, I have a couple of quotes for you, Pastor Brett, that we'd like to get your response to. Hutton Gibson, the father of Mel Gibson, has made a couple of appearances on this show, and this is what he said about tolerance. Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments, it insists upon one last virtue, tolerance for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions. It creates a whole new world in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil. Is that where we are now, not just in society, but in perhaps in many mega churches?
Oh, yeah. We're
many denominations.
Aristotle says something similar to what Gibson gave us. But that's exactly where we're at. We're so tolerant, our brains are falling out of our ears. We can't draw lines anymore. We can't even say anymore to the homosexual, the sodomite, out of the love of Christ and love for you, you need to repent, because this is wickedness that stinks in God's nostrils. We can't tell men and women that men are men and women are women. We can't say that, look, Christ came to save people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. But that doesn't mean that all tribe, tongues, and nations have to be this global, homo-global cottage of mess.
A mess of pottage.
Tolerance is what's killing us.
Well, you know, Pastor Brett, I mean, you're really getting me fired up. I hope. I mean, it's been since May since you last appeared. I really hope you can start appearing more frequently, because we need the spiritual guidance. I mean, I know that people in this movement to save our race, to better, you know, for white well-being, they need something eternal. Everything we're talking about is important. But there is something more to life than life. And there is something more. There is something eternal. There is something spiritual that our people lack, that we need. But we need leadership
well,
from
people,
the clergy.
When people ask for a loaf and are given a stone, and ask for a fish and are given a serpent, they're going to look elsewhere for spiritual nourishment. And that's the problem that many Christians have today. I can't support, for example, James is more of a recent arriver to this, because his church, he thought, was going to be the last bastion, the Southern Baptist. Now they have gone over to the dark side. I'm an Episcopalian, and I encountered all of this back in the 60s with Bishop Pike and people like that. Do we have any alternative other than to return to the catacombs or have home churching? The other thing that James was just mentioning is people can tune in to your broadcast and your website
sermons,
and things like this. for spiritual nourishment. Of course, that's not like having a church home where you meet and fellowship with people individually. I mean, as a group. But, you know, a lot of people are really at their wit's end because they know they're getting nothing but rank heresy from the mainline Protestant churches, for example, or the fundamentalist churches that they are members of or have historically been members of.
Well, so let's cut to the chase on that, and then I've got something that will actually accentuate what you just said, Keith, but let's go to Pastor Brett on this. Pastor Brett, to Mr. and Mrs. TPC listener out there who are looking for a church but don't know where to go, what would you advise them? That's the question.
Well, the best, I have people from all over the nation, and it's not an exaggeration, that phone me routinely with this same complaint. My heart breaks, is broken. I spend time, I'm not exaggerating, full of tears over what the condition of the church is if people can't find a church. My counsel is, if you're in a big urban area, see if you can find several families and go into a church and try to take it back. If you can't do that, then you have to do some kind of home church. Maybe that includes sermons from Charlotte Christ the King Reformed Church. But what you can't do, above all else, you can't keep writing checks to those churches that are working as a subterfuge to what you believe. You can't do it. So the only other option is you can't take over a church. And I know that's a tall order. Is to home church as best you can.
I like what you said, Pastor. I've always said here that the only sound a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse.
That's right.
Well, I want to say one more thing about tolerance. We talked about that earlier with the Hutton Gibson quote. There was another one from, I believe she was a British writer, a poet, a crime writer, a novelist, Dorothy Sayers. She may have the last word on tolerance, and it gets to the spiritual aspect of it. In the world, it's called tolerance, she writes, but in hell, it's called despair. The sin that believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive because there is nothing for which it will die. Now, that really, I think,
it's
accurately, yeah, it describes so many Americans, including, sadly, so many American Christians. But I will say this, and I know a lot of people who have inquired upon Christianity in the last couple of decades would be alienated from it, and we're going to get to that in the next segment. But the fact of the matter remains for our people, the Savior for the lost, the hell-bound and the hell-deserving is not tolerance, but the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. This new virtue of tolerance is but an opiate for to satiate the long atrophied sense of accountability that lays dormant in the self-righteous coward, Pastor Brett.
Yeah, nobody would ever accuse the Apostle Paul of being tolerant. Read the book of Acts. Read the epistles. The church, if it's going to go forward in victory and triumph, and it will eventually in God's time, it will triumph. If the church is going to go forward, then it has to be intolerant in the way the scriptures define what God's standard is. It has to draw lines. It has to say this is right and this is wrong. It has to tell sinners about their sin, not because they get some kind of malignant delight in it, but because they love them enough in order for them to tell them that, look, the only solution to this sin problem you have is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now God commands all men everywhere to repent. He doesn't invite you. He doesn't say, oh, please come. He commands you to repent. And unless we can get back intolerance, we will not have a gospel, period.
It requires you to be born again.
That's right. Looking to Christ alone to be justified, for him to receive our sins and for him to impute to us or account to us his righteousness so that we're acceptable with God.
Absolutely. And this is exactly what people need to hear from a pastor. And instead, they hear that.
Keith. Isn't that the truth? Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, what is happening now is that people are, you know, why would anybody, if liberalism has replaced Christianity as the true religion of these churches, Why do people even bother with church altogether?
Tell them about this church that's across the street from one of your favorite eating places, the First Congo Church. What are they all about?
They're the transgender, bisexual, homosexual church, a former congregational church. You know, the Congregationals were like the Episcopalians of New England.
Right.
And by the way, New England was formed by the British Crown not to make money like most colonies, but as a dumping ground for religious crackpots, and it lived up to their projections.
Well, my pastor, my longtime pastor, has said, you know, not every building with a steeple is a church house. And so I asked Pastor Brett, I mean, these, with the lesbian ministers and, you know, the homosexual marriages and all of that, why do these institutions, these buildings, these community centers even pretend to be churches anymore? Is it for the tax breaks?
Yeah, why don't they just go to the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or something like this if all they want is, you know, state-approved liberalism rather than true Christianity?
Is it tax breaks, or is it to actually sully the name of Christianity to alienate people from it? Well, we may have to. We'll repose that question when we come back, because we were on our break. My goodness, how quickly this hour is going by with Pastor Brett McAfee. Stay tuned, everybody.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm. Meow.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to asked you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Get on the show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-7777.
6397.
We have one more segment with Pastor Brett McAtee, and before we get to the end of it, I want to ask him why there is reason for our people to hope and have hope going forward, and we have to get to that, so we have to move through this segment rather quickly. But Pastor Brett, when you and I were talking a couple of days ago, I shared with you, and I knew you had already been somewhat familiar with the story about my church's entire dismissal from the Southern Baptist Convention, and I know that you've suffered similarly from your denomination, which is actually a great credit in your favor and is a true testament to your standing and devotion to the Word of God and of that of your congregation. But the way I see it, and we've said this before, that these evangelical churches are dying because they alienate men who are the natural spiritual leaders of families. The church today, with its cucking on race and feminism and immigration, demands that the saving grace of Christ comes attached at the hip with this sick suicide cult of feminized leaders like Russell Moore and the Southern Baptist Convention specifically. But does this even qualify as gospel when any sane person must reject the suicidal package offered by the modern church? And Dabney said as much even in his day. But the point being that any reasonable person would reject such a ridiculous practice of religion out of hand, meaning that the very best of our people will be alienated from Christianity. So, of course, we hope that there is some extraordinary measure of grace at work today for the reasonable unbeliever, the disproportionately non-religious conservative white cannot but look at the church and gag.
Well, you know, we run into this in our movement all the time, people that have turned on Christianity because they identify Christianity with what they're hearing from pulpits locally.
That gets to my question for Pastor Brett. So I see it, I can attest to the problems that the modern day church has, or the establishment church. But I will also say that in spite of all of that, it doesn't change the eternal truths. Pastor Brett, can our people triumph without Christ at the center, be it in a political movement, in anything? Can our people triumph without Christ at the center of it?
No. And that's why I have problems with certain ethno-nationalist movements, because they want to broaden the net, so to speak, and have a wide tent where Christ is one of the gods. Well, that's right back to where the problem started to begin with. Unless Christ is held up as being prophet, priest, and king under sovereign God, unless it's understood that we live and move and have our being in God in Christ, unless it's understood that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, we will be a people who will forever be defeated. We will never be a victorious people until we take fealty oaths to our Lord Jesus Christ and live and move and understand all of reality in terms of who he is. This is the problem with the church. It no longer thinks God's thoughts after him. It's taken an alien worldview. It's looked at scripture and it said, we're going to understand the scripture in light of this alien worldview instead of a worldview that has Christ as the center and as king. The church must be Christocentric if it's going to be the church again.
Well, let me say this. I have told people before that they want to know where the true Christian faith resides, and I tell them it's between the covers of the original King James Bible. As far as I'm concerned, you've got to basically be very careful. You've got to be very wise and discerning to find a good church, because like you said, you don't want to be feeding apostasy with your tithes and offerings.
Well, that actually goes back to the question we had for you before the last break. We got cut off, Pastor Brett. Why these churches pretend to be churches at all rather than just liberal outposts? Is it because they just want the 501c3 status, or are they actively trying to subvert people's
religious faith?
Well, or people's interpretation of what Christianity really stands for?
I've thought about that a lot, actually, over the years. I have a thesis, and the thesis is that they attend these churches because by attending them, they can say good things to themselves about themselves. See what a fine person I am. I'm in church on Sundays. I go to church. This speaks well of me to myself. Now, some of the more epistemologically self-conscious understand they're subverting Christianity, but the average person who's sitting in the pew, who has adopted this worldview from the pulpit, from the larger culture, he goes to church because it says good things about himself to himself. That's my thesis.
I think that's honestly probably the best and most succinct answer I've heard. I mean, it really is about it. I think there's something to that, because at the end of the day, I can speak for myself in saying that I feel better about having gone to church on Sunday. I mean, you feel better about your day. You feel better about yourself, better about your week. I get it. But, you know, when you go to these churches where, I mean, it's lesbians talking about the sin of racism and how all people of the all of these people.
Well, churches that have exchanged the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
That's pretty much it. But Pastor Brett, I mean, we know what the problems are in this world, and I wanted to have you back on tonight because it seems as though they are only being compounded. And I wanted to ask you, and this is important, what reasons do our people have for hope? And I mean by our people, the God-fearing,
what is the new path to take now?
Hardworking family men who don't believe that you have to commit cultural
Harry
genocide
Carey.
In order to be a truly good person. What hope do we have for the future?
Well, we have the hope of scriptures. Scripture teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ must reign until all enemies are put under his feet. And then it talks about the return of Christ in that context. So we have the certainty of knowing that no matter how black or bleak it may be now, Christ is going to rule. And he's going to rule through his people's obedience. And yes, in as much as we're no longer an obedient people, it's blackout. But there'll come a time when the Spirit of Christ comes upon God's people and renews them to want to take Christ again as king. And when that happens, increasingly the light will, post-tenebric flux, from darkness to light will happen, just happen in the Reformation. Then you have Psalm chapter 2, kiss the Son, O ye kings, lest you be angry and you perish in the way. In other words, what's being clearly communicated there is that the leaders have a responsibility to kiss Christ, and if they don't, they're gonna feel the pain. So we have that kind of idea, Psalm 110. Likewise, communicates this idea. So our hope is not in the circumstances we're living in. The hope is in the promises that we find in Scripture that Christ rules and he will keep ruling until he returns and finds a world that's largely converted.
Well, we want to be the faithful remnant, and we want to use the old spiritual, be in that number when the saints come marching in. And we've got to be discerning.
Amen. But we also have to have confidence. And the scripture teaches about Christ reigning, and that the world is while now it may be weak, that Christ is going to work by his Spirit through his people to the end of converting the world, and then he'll return. That's where our confidence and our hope has to rest in what's called eschatologically as postmillennialism.
I think the key is to not just hear sermons, but to read the Bible and to read it with discernment and to, contrast it to the messages that you're getting from, like, the Southern Baptist Convention now or the Episcopal Church USA.
Well, I think, too, Pastor Brett, that, for me speaking, 15 years in radio and all of the arrows we've taken and spears, without that foundation being built on the bedrock of Jesus Christ, I mean, I don't think we make it this long. I know. I mean, I just know that having a faith in him and that my work is not inconsistent with his teachings that I've been able to endure. What can the Rock of Christ do for people as they have to face the inevitable challenges that will come for telling the truth, whether it be politically or spiritually or whatever? I know you, too, have gone through these problems with the churches attacking you, your own brothers in Christ attacking you. But what can Christ do to embolden and encourage our people as we face these uncertain days ahead and the challenges that will come if we do good work?
Well, the scriptures teach, actually, one command is repeated most often in scriptures, fear not. So we have to do our best to take heed of that command. We have to be confident, secondly, in God's sovereignty. If God is sovereign, if nothing happens except by the legislative decree of the sovereign God who sits in heaven above and rules, if he's sovereign, we believe that, then we can believe that whatever comes into our lives comes into our lives through the hand of a sovereign God who loves us, no matter what it is. And so those are the kind of truths that we have to set ourselves upon in terms of finding confidence and finding hope for black or bleak days ahead. We have to be confident that we're doing what's right in the sight of God, and then we have to be confident that he will do what's right for us in terms of the existential circumstances that come into our lives.
I think that when you're in a situation like this, what we need to do is, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. We need to turn to God in prayer with all of our questions, with all of our doubts. It's unfortunate if you don't have a priest there at your church that you can rely upon, but if you don't, go directly to God.
Pastor McAtee, I know I've butchered the actual pronunciation of your website a couple of times tonight, but if you've enjoyed what you've heard from Pastor Brett this evening, I've alternated calling him Pastor Brett, Pastor McAtee, Pastor Brett McAtee, let's just put it all together. If you've enjoyed what you've heard tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you'd like to hear more of it, we encourage you to do a home church with his sermons at the center of it, even if you have to watch online until you can find something
in
your local community, an in-person fellowship. Pastor, give us that URL one more time.
My blog is ironink.org. There's lots of material there. Charlottereform.org, irontheologians.org, ironsermons.org. There's several of them. You can find them that way.
All right. Well, Pastor, we only have seconds remaining. Is there anything else you'd like to impart upon our audience before we wish you a good evening? I know you're out of town tonight and on a vacation, or on a trip, rather. And thank you for joining us. A last word.
God bless you, saints. We know you're out there. Stay faithful.
Pastor Brett McAtee, thank you so much for encouraging us tonight. We look forward to working with you in the future. And, folks, be sure to check out his church online. Thank you, Pastor. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.